Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow Otherworld explorers. I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanine. Welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods, an ongoing exploration of the celestial forces that shape, guide, and are actively engaged with evolving life here on Gaia. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you E.T. Universal Zone with Mark and Philip Brinkerhoff. Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff, I'm sorry. Welcome, Mark and Phyllis. Thank you for being here tonight, and I'm looking forward to your presentation.
Hercules.
Hi.
Hercules.
Greetings and salutations to everybody.
And to you as well. You left us in a dramatic place in your last episode, so I'm looking forward to your continuation tonight.
We can't remember what we say episode
we,
to episode.
Yeah, we don't follow our own episodes. Isn't that funny? We don't replay them, so we're like, okay. Thank you, Hercules. Thank you.
You declared yourself a prophet of Sananda. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the cosmic prophet.
That
the,
is true.
The crew.
That actually is very true.
The crew says you're a cosmic prophet because we come from high cosmic levels, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
very
actually,
cool.
that actually leads right into the show we're doing tonight, because last night we were talking to a friend and we were talking about various sundry other things, because as you know, Mark can talk about everything under the sun.
Okay.
And the, you know, solar system.
Oh, Hercules, the fairies all say hi to you. The nature kingdom.
Hello.
They're going, hi. Yes.
They must be reading my mind. I'm planning when we introduce the fae to the podcast, which will be later this year. So
they're ready.
Yep.
So anyway, so we were having a discussion with our friend, and Sananda popped in, and we weren't planning to go in this direction, but he asked us if we would straighten something out. So we thought, okay.
All right, because we're going to talk about some other things.
So in the meantime, everything that we're talking about in this show is going into the book, and you know, there's actually just a tremendous amount of information that's going to be going into the first book with some omniversal symbols that are going to be blockbusters. And so what we came up with today is something about lucid remote viewing we're going to start off with. And so I'm just going to say to Mark, if you could explain, first of all, what you see, hear, and experience when you lucidly remote view from the 12th plane of consciousness. What's that like?
Okay, so when I relax myself and what I see from when I connect up to that level, which is a high spiritual plane in the high heaven realms, we call the 11th and 12th plane and 13th plane, and it keeps on going. But where I connect and where I come from as an aspected form, like there's higher self aspects and everything. So, and we have aspects that just come who are on planet right now, that their higher self has projected that aspected form, which is projected from their true self form, what we used to call oversouls. We're going to be calling true selves right now. So I'm a super higher self aspect form from the 12th plane, coming through here to this plane now, the first plane. So I didn't have to come to Earth and all that. So the thing is what the way I see is from my perspective from the 12th plane. I will connect intuitively and relax myself and connect to my true self over self form or the original self. And I would see through his eyes. Now, what I experience here, because I'm in two places at once, and let's say I'm sitting on a sofa or in a chair, I will see from the perspective of my oversoul or true self's eyes, and also while I'm sitting here, I see a 3D lucid image or beyond a vision. I'm sitting in two spots at the same time, so I sometimes will open my eyes, and I will have a double effect. In a way, I could see Phyllis or the house, but at the same time, inside in the area, we might say the pineal and the third, the pineal and the pituitary gland space area in their head, I'm seeing a total up on the ship where I am with my friends and crew.
And you can actually, if I shook your hand, you could feel my hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when I connect with my friends and crew or somebody else's.
We're going to go into that. And,
true self, yeah.
But
I would see them.
Basically what you're saying is that you have the visceral ability to be in two places at once and to actually hear audibly and telepathically from these entities on this 12th plane,
yeah,
and higher, see through the eyes of your true self, and also touch somebody. If somebody,
yes,
touches you, you can feel that,
yes,
you're being touched and still also be sitting here
on the
sofa with me talking.
It's like
so,
being in two places
so
at the same time.
That's a very visceral experience. And so what we'd like to do, which we haven't done before, is to say, I'd like Mark to explain about the five different ways you actually lucidly remote view, and you can take it from there.
Okay, let's see. The first way I see is through my true self, which is my total, like we used to say, oversoul or overself or original self. And I will, like my true self will sometimes, Sananda will spontaneously interject information when Phyllis and I are discussing spiritual matters here on the planet Earth, where we're sitting here and talking. So that's where my true self will come towards me, and I'll hear and see. All of a sudden, they'll just be like a flash, and it'll be coming on in my head. Now, most people, when you close your eyes and you see that blank screen with your eyes closed, and you might see a vision. You might have had a lucid vision or a daydream that comes on really strong. And, you know, daydream, you could be sitting there with your eyes open and have a total daydream. So it's that 3D, that feeling. But for me, it's with my eyes open. And I'm seeing a superimposed as well sometimes in front of me. So it's like I'm seeing through the screen that we have with your, close your eyes, that screen. I'm seeing through that at the same time. So sometimes the Sananda or even Ashtar or some of my other friends and crew will just interject and say something or give us information.
And we haven't been talking about them at all. We weren't even thinking.
Yeah.
We weren't even trying to.
No, not trying to.
I'm not even trying to get any spiritual questions answered. But they'll hear what we're talking about, and they will just arbitrarily pop in.
And they're basically hearing through my oval part.
Which is quite a bit of fun.
Because it's always connected to me. So I know they're listening to me, and I know when they're working and doing stuff. So when we're discussing things, I know my own self will tune in. Now, telepathically, if my own self is tuned in, the friends that are around, standing by or sitting around them, if they're not working, they'd have a lounge space. If they're there, they can telepathically tune in if my over or true self allows them to hear. And then they'll get a telepathic connection. So sometimes they'll get some different voice coming through as well, which is from my other friend, Astron or something.
So basically the first type of lucid remote viewing is when they pop in.
Phyllis and I are just talking. Or anybody.
It could be anyone.
I could be talking to somebody about something that's happening to them, and they'll chime in to me if it helps with the information for that person.
Well, okay, now remember, that one, number one is spontaneously interjection of information from the high plane.
That I see in 3D with them, yeah.
And then
the second one. Okay, that's like if Phyllis asks a spiritual question, and my true self and or Sananda or my crew friends will instantly allow me to see what they're doing and will help with answering the questions if I need it. And sometimes they will tune in to me when we're talking about things just in a way for fun. Because they're hanging out, so if my own self is tuned in, it's kind of funny when you think about it. It's like kids are playing in a backyard, and parents watching from the window, and they might say, oh, look what they're doing now. Isn't that cute? And then they'll over-listen to them. That's what my true self is doing, and when he thinks it's fun or interesting, let my other friends up on the ship hear some of it or telepathically hear it, and they can tune in. Because usually if they'll only do that if we're talking about certain things. Because they know where I am.
Normally when we're
doing.
Speaking about spiritual matters,
yeah.
it would be unusual if they didn't pop in, even without us asking. Actually, just to take that a step further, when anyone in the world is thinking intently of spiritual matters, spiritual ideas with a pure heart, usually the
Holy Spirit
will usually sort of pop into that person's mind and help them discern things or be led somewhere to an answer or a spiritual question. But it's interesting. But
it also helps their guardians, angels, to guide that person to the spirit of Creator.
So,
the Holy Spirit, as we call.
So number one is spontaneously they interject. Number two is I trigger something when I ask a spiritual question or someone else asks a spiritual question.
And then triggers my true self too, or who's ever with them on the ship. I mean, if Sananda's there or will have an answer for me to give to Phyllis or person asking.
Then there's number three, which is very interesting.
Okay, this is where I intentionally seek information from someone even other than my true self. And that might be usually Sananda. So I'm asking for information. In this case, I know I will be taking a dictation, so I prepare with my pen and papers if I'm asking Sananda something. Like, even if it's, do you want to give a message on Easter? He probably will. But if we have a question to something personal, like what we're getting involved, I could have my pad ready and he will come to me. Now, it all happens truly on the high plains, but he can come to me any way he wants here. So he will stand by me, right by me, and I can feel him next to me in a chair, and he will be telepathically, you're speaking to me, and I'll hear him.
That's another
aspect. I mean, I literally hear his voice.
That's another aspect,
yeah.
Actually. When you intentionally seek information, that type of remote viewing.
Oh, right.
And also,
right.
I think you
yeah.
sort of need to explain what it looks like when you seek that information, what it looks like when he tunes in.
Then when he tunes in to me for information I'm seeking, I will see a vision of him, and usually it's a close-up from neck or shoulders up. Sometimes it's just the face alone, glowing with golden light and blazing auric energy frequencies or light like that. But and his he will talk to me, and a lot of times it's a telepathic speaking. You're going to hear him that way. But other times he has talked to me with the mouth moving and I can hear his voice speaking. That's when I seek to ask him a question or have some information, whether it be about anything. It could be about planet Earth or something.
In the past 3 years, I guess,
yeah.
Since 21, we on certain holidays we ask if he has a message. So sort of.
And he'll pop in like a instant picture or a vision. I don't say picture because it looks like a live person, but it comes on like a flash, and he answers. The next one is...
The fourth way is interesting.
I could
this
be,
one has, doesn't happen that much, but it has happened.
It happened, but it doesn't happen a lot, but thank gosh. But Phyllis and I were talking, maybe we're talking or just sitting, even in a car. We're talking about anything. It could be about nature spirits. It could be about, you know, horses or something. And all of a sudden, Sananda spontaneously interrupts me with his presence. And that the love of the infinite creator. And now I'll see his face when he wants to tell me something. It might be something he wants to get a message to Phyllis and I about something. He doesn't normally do that ever. But when he had done it, the first thing I saw was an instant... and flash in my head, and his face is there, glowing golden light, and he's so beautifully benevolent. He's an androgynous looking person, actually, when you see him that way, as Sananda. And even though I blink my eyes, And I'm talking to Phyllis. Let's say we were on a couch when this happened one time. I'm just sitting talking. While I was talking to Phyllis, and she's saying, what are you seeing? I said, right now, I'm looking at you, but right in front of me, my whole face is his face. So now I'm seeing through his face, like he's superimposed over at me above what I'm seeing. I mean, I can't explain any more than that. If, as an artwork, you would have to have a big picture of Sananda's face and then make it look like you're looking from your eyes, a person sitting on a couch or chair and talking to them, but his face is there in front of everything. So I'm seeing through the golden light and blazing. Remember that, Phyllis, when it happens?
Yeah.
But my whole head, inside my head, was lit with light. And it's like gold light in my head coming out of my eye, around my eyes, and yet his face is there. So that's when he spontaneously comes towards me to give me information of something he wants us to know about.
And if it happens to be a message, then Mark has to get busy.
If it's a message, I got to go get a pad and pen and start writing.
then the fifth way that you usually lucidly remote view
is like when I give a consultation, a spiritual consultation to friends or family or people who write to me or call me on the internet and all. So I always will lucidly remote view a person's true self, their oversoul, but I go to my oversoul or true self. I connect to me on the 12th plane to get some information that's a little different from what a person might say. Looking, if you met a human in front of you, you might see their aura as a psychic, let's say. We'll use these words so people understand. You might see their aura, but in the aura's thought forms, you could read some of those thought forms. You might say, oh, I see you've had a recent breakup or something happened because there's so much sadness in this energy frequency here on this part of your body. And it'll show that. But when I go past the obviously what we see here walking on planet Earth right here, and the auric fields and everything, when I go for the person who's coming for information or consultation, I will go to my true self. I will relax and lay down, usually to start, and usually that's what I do. I usually kind of relax and sit and relax.
Well, not when you're doing a reading.
For the consultation. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and then I get myself prepared.
Okay.
But by the time I talk to the human.
Not when the person's with you.
No, not when they're with me, no. No, I've already done it to connect with them. So if they're not physically coming to see me, I connect with their photograph that they send me in an email. And I do it that way. And I connect to their true self. And I get information from their, let's say, oversoul true self, authentic or original self, and their guardian angels, or angels working with them. And I'll get some different information, but a lot of times it's the information that they were asking. Most people coming to me are looking for information about space, about even past lives, et cetera, like that. So it's past lives of space or galactic areas, and of planet Earth, or where they were in our solar system, or past lives, and family. Maybe why certain people are in their family might ask me that question. Sometimes that happens. And directions for the future, what's happening for them. So that's when I'm talking to their true self through my true self, and it's all happening while I'm sitting talking with a person. So they will see me sometimes just close my eyes or go quiet and sit there and then ask the information. I get an answer, and I'll repeat to them. And sometimes it's happening at the same time I'm talking to them. They'll interject everything because I'm sitting at the same time on the ship with my over true self and getting information from my friend or client, whoever is there. And that's how it works for me. And I cannot do that unless the soul or the person I'm speaking to gives me permission.
Yeah, it's not something.
And I don't just tune into anybody. That's against the rules. You know, like someone hands you a photograph and says, "What do you see in that person?" It is really against the rules to read about a person or tune into them, the soul, unless it's a question like, "What?" I mean, like,
well,
if I put my hand on a picture, I can say on a TV or a newspaper or a missing child, and I can put my hand over the child and put it right on, and I'll see it's missing or it's alive or the person is dead. And
well,
I'll get that information, but that's it.
Okay,
I don't go looking deeper.
Not to confuse anybody, if you're doing a consultation and they show you a picture of somebody, that you have permission to answer that question because
yeah.
that person is directly involved
with the other person
yeah.
who might be their family.
So
yeah.
that would, or it could, you know, it could be a ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend,
yeah, right.
or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, so.
But only through that.
You know, that, yeah.
Yep.
So about a week ago, I don't know, we heard something, people talking, different psychics or something on the internet, and we heard information that was being spread around about Sananda's life on Earth after he ascended. And Mark actually has a lot to say about that, and also about this information plus more will be going into the book, but also about the missing time between when he was a kid and he was traveling
as Yehoshua
all over the place
yeah.
with his uncle Joseph of Arimathea, but it's not mentioned in any of the Bible that's released to the world. So we have information about that, which is going to be mind-blowing when it's written. But the thing that specifically I had started to ask about, because I was not happy about what was being said, and I just wanted to get clarification from Sananda, so I started to ask Mark a few questions, and this is by...
No, I've known these answers. But
and this is by no means a complete list, but it just
no.
we just started to create these questions to answer things that are being spoken about out there in the places where people really don't
internet
know
internet or whatever they're
they
doing.
They don't have the access that Mark has.
Or some people wrote books that they channeled. Now we got I will bring this back into this is other people get information their way, but. From my understanding of what's going on, where I've come from, we have to be very careful about channeling, just sitting there and letting any spirit come towards you, no matter who they say they are. You know, they say, well, I'm the one that works with you for all, you know, I'm your friend forever. I've been doing this. But even they get information messed up because of where they're coming from, what plane they're working on. And so we have to be careful. And I've seen spirits, or let's say souls, around channelers back in the 70s. They were channeling, and they invited me to sit there, and for the first time we're sitting there. So I saw around their energy field, and there were these people talking or standing and waiting to talk through as a channel, who was a very nice person, very sweet. And when it was all done, I had to go over and say what I saw because I cannot let this go. I said, who did you think you were talking to, or whatever I might have said to the woman I knew at the time. And she said, let's say Saint Germain. Okay, or let's say somebody else, like Kuthumi. And it was not that person speaking next to her, talking at her ears. It was not that person. I said, it was a trickster. These are souls that are earthbound type souls who, they're playing around here on this level we're on right here, walking invisibly around us. Working with sometimes the negative beings, but a lot of times they're playful. They're just having fun, and they're doing pretend games with people, pretending like today I'm going to be Master Moria, let's say, or somebody else. Now these beings exist, Moria and everyone, but when they get tricksters, they're taking advantage of the innocent person who's a very spiritual person, very loving and honest, and really means well, but they play games with everybody. So we got to be careful, and you got to test them, and you got to test them.
Well,
that'll
be in the book.
They say.
So here are some of the questions that I started to ask. I said, would you please ask Sananda these questions? So this was a situation where I initiated.
Mm-hmm.
Him questions for him specifically, waited for a few seconds, and then he said okay, and he came in and he started speaking to Mark. So I tried to write down what he said.
Yes.
So
And when he comes in, he's standing near my side. But he's invisible, of course, but he is in a frequency there next to me, and I'm hearing him speak in my, let's say, super consciousness or so, because sometimes I've heard him just speak in my right ear.
Okay.
And everything, the words and everything.
I want people to pay close attention to these questions.
Yes.
Because they're blockbuster questions.
And there's more, but this is a snippet.
This is just a, you know. Did you come to Sananda? Did you come back to Earth and physically manifest after the ascension?
And Sananda, as when he was here on Earth as Yehoshua, he says yes.
I said, okay. I said,
did you manifest after he ascended?
I said,
because he went up to the sky.
Did you die on the earth after the ascension and leave remains behind? Now, this is something we have heard recently that some people are speaking. So I specifically asked this question to Sananda. Did you die on the earth after the ascension and leave remains behind? Now, I knew the answer, but here's what
he says, no. I just dematerialize or materialize from any place I might be, even as I do today.
Okay. So I said, I thought this was a really great question. Wait for this one.
No, let them people know. People have written story and books on this information as saying that Yehoshua left after the ascension, came back and met with Mary of Magdalena. And they went off to France, which was at that time called Gallia, and they lived there for the rest of their life and had children, et cetera, et cetera. This is all hoax. It's not true.
Okay, so this is the question I asked.
So here's the story.
I said, why are there so many stories of you keeping house with Mary Magdalena?
This was amazing. I didn't expect this one, but this is what he said. Meaning the people at the time, they promoted a propaganda for tourism of towns to visit in France, at the time, Galilee. So people pretended to be me.
And I'm like, wow, okay. So then I said, what was your relationship with Mary Magdalena?
He said, friend, teacher, a student relationship, and family, like a little sister. Nothing, anything more than that.
And so I said, so the stories of you staying in one place in France are not accurate.
No, they are not accurate, he said.
So then I said, did you set up housekeeping in any of the places you visited?
He says, no, I would be invited to stay with followers and never stayed longer than 2 days.
So that's interesting. So then I said, how many countries did you manifest into physically after the ascension?
He said, all continents, and I still do it today for my children. I am the living creator. I died for the specific mission to free my children from the fallen, and I rose. I ascended off the planet, and I came back and to continue to today.
I said, I was actually wondering how long did he continue the after mission of physically manifesting into places in the world to teach as he did in the Holy Land. I just wondered how long did he do it, but he sort of answered it in the question above.
And he said, it has never stopped. There are records of my visits around the world written and many hidden after I ascended.
So basically, what he is saying here is he's dispelling the information that has been being tossed around, that he allowed himself to stay in any one place more than 2 days, and he traveled the entire world directly after the ascension when he came back, and so that's how all of these lies.
Well, they are conspiracies, because the negative fallen beings and the playful ones, as we call them, they know all this information, so they wanted to create confusion and for the people to get more confused and believe that he was a man and he was born as a human, yes, but he was not. He was a creator to the Creator within. And the other thing we like to dispel, there's a lot of teachings that are out there from even many Christian teachings of people we know that, and we've seen it on TV, where people have said, after Yehoshua went to the Jordan and got baptized by, as they called, John the Baptist or Yohan the Baptist, they said, and the dove landed on his head as a sign. It was the Creator's Holy Spirit dove manifestation that he does or Creator does. So that was what they say in the teachings, the marker for the start of his three-year mission to tell, you know, get the apostles and speak what he speaks.
Well, that was literally a fulfilling of prophecy.
Mm-hmm. It was a marker. But even when John the Baptist says to him as he comes to him, he says, it should be you baptizing me. I can't tie a sandal on your sandal. I can't tie the, what is it, the straps on your sandal. And Sananda, Yehoshua at the time, he says, let it be done according to the way this is to be done. So it's true. He came in with all the knowledge that he needed even as Creator. He is Creator. So this is where it's confusing to people. So they thought he started his mission of healing and teaching and everything like that.
He started his public mission. But even as a baby,
yes,
he was fully conscious.
Yep.
And it's not taught.
Yes, it's not taught. It's hidden. It was taken away. I know this because I personally know him on those high planes. Remember, he came in, materialized here to me in our bedroom. I was switching a CD. So I had a CD player in there, and I was moving them around. It was a 5-CD rack or whatever. And he came in behind me, and the whole energy of the room changed as the Creator entered the room. I did not know what to expect when I turned around. I thought like Archangel Michael was here or something, because the energy of God was in the room. I'll say God, the Creator. And he was standing there. And I went down to my knee almost, but he helped me stand up again, levitated me in a way to stand with no weight. And when you see the Infinite One, you will bow down. You will bend to your knee. But he said, when we try and get to this part, where I'd asked these questions too a long time ago, way before I met Phyllis, way back in the late 60s, early 70s. I had asked him how you came in, and he said, awake. Awake and aware. There's no camouflaging in this. Now,
okay,
there's a lot of people saying this saint, that saint had this and that appear, and the glow came from their eye. You know, there's no proof. We don't know. But if in this case, I would say, yes, he was glowing. He came in. So he spoke to Mary as a baby when they don't speak yet. He blessed the donkey that Mary rode on. He blessed the woman that came in to help Mary. What do they call those?
The midwife.
Midwife, yeah.
With his little hand.
And he blessed her, and she had a problem, like a blood coming from her a lot. She had an issue like that, like a hemorrhaging that was happening now and then or something to her. That was cured.
But
and they don't know about the
this
people.
Isn't,
this know
isn't
about this.
Written in the books that have been published. So,
right.
No.
There was others that came to see the baby, and they had swaddling cloths hanging on a rope to dry. And one of the nurses, the ladies that worked in the area, because they were monitoring, like, let's say the inn that they couldn't get into,
mm-hmm.
She was helping, so she took one of those cloths and put it on another person who got healed, because she was healed.
You know,
and that was like taking a clean little diaper or something,
well,
and going,
you know,
putting on something.
That's
what they call it,
stories,
those blankets.
These are stories that will be in the book. So now what I wanted to say...
And there's other things he did.
I don't want to come up short because I just want to do this. I'd like him to read the last message again because it's been re... whenever Mark was reading it from a written piece that night because he didn't have a chance to type it up. But as we've typed it up, Sananda has come in and helped edit it. And so it's easier for him to read, and he's also put headings on that just so the different paragraphs can sort of be separated out. And I'm not publishing this. I'm not publishing any more messages from Sananda until the book comes out. But if anybody in the audience would like a copy of it, just email us, and we'll email you a PDF of it. But so Mark's just going to read it one more time with the new headings.
Okay, there we go. Just to let you know, he is in my head with the crew.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sananda's New Year's message of 2024. He titled it "Love and Urgency." So I will say the whole thing. I lucidly remote viewed this message Friday, January 5th, 2024. On the 12th plane, massive Arcana starship, where countless true selves, which are parentheses, we have original selves, oversouls, authentic selves, etc., abide. I asked Sananda if he had a New Year message for our ET Universal's Own podcast that he would be we'd be broadcasting later in the day, and Sananda said yes. I had waited to the last minute to tune up to my true self to be able to get this message from Sananda. When I connected to my true self, I found myself sitting in a private lounge area with my crew, my friends and crew. Sananda materialized in a space in a chair that was opposite me. It'd be like a chair. These space chairs are amazing, but I can't explain them. I'll draw them. But like he'd be 4 feet from me if you were sitting in a chair and another chair was opposite you. He came in with golden hair just below his shoulders, wearing a beautiful golden iridescent spacesuit, which had shimmering light all around it. He was glowing with Holy Presence energy as he spoke. He usually is glowing when you meet him on ships, too. Okay, as usual, Sananda accompanied his spoken words with incredible telepathic visions as he dictated to me. I thought it would be a fairly short message. I started around 3 p.m. We took two breaks, and he stopped talking around 8:30 p.m. that night. I wrote the 19 pages as neatly as I could because I realized I'd have to read it looking at my messy handwriting instead of a typed copy for the 9 o'clock p.m. show. Honestly, it was a bit of a challenge reading my handwriting written pages on the live show. So now I'm going to read you the message now that it's typed and much more clear. And he came to help me in Phyllis, making sure the commas were not commas or these were real periods. Okay, so... Sananda's message. I know some people are listening. Again, you might even have an older copy we might have emailed you. I don't know.
No, it's pretty close.
Signs above, on, and in the earth. These are titles that he wanted us to give. Signs above and on and in the earth.
On a paragraph, yeah.
Today, my beloveds, I come to you and all my children with a message of love and urgency all throughout the solar system. You will see more and more changes, including on planet Earth. The sun is also having changes within it that are going to become more enhanced due to interior processes that have been happening more and more throughout the centuries. Scientists on Earth are noticing the changes. I am trying to give my children a heads up now. The planet Earth will have signs appearing for my children to see and witness. They will gain understanding of the many ways the Infinite Creator will attempt to get the attention of the people on the planet. Now, in parentheses, I'm saying note, telepathically here, he showed me changes happening to the planet and suggested we all study the suspiciousobservers.org website for up-to-date reporting on changes in our solar system and beyond. That website was the website that Ingo Swann telepathically instructed Phyllis to click on without her knowing it, but
yeah,
she did. And it's based on true things that are happening in our solar system.
And beyond.
Not the stuff they hide. They try to pretend that doesn't exist. The signs are to be seen in the oceans, the waters on the earth, the sky above, and the interior forces within the planet Earth. Note, again, he showed me telepathic 3D visions of volcanoes, fierce storms and wild auroras, and things like that happening on planet Earth. The aurora borealis is, as they get closer, where people seeing them from high, not the northern sections like Maine and Canada, when you start seeing in South or North Carolina, that means atmospheric disturbance and changes.
A lot of magnetic problems.
Yeah, the magnetic field. We're not supposed to see them that far down. But that's the signs, and people are seeing them even in areas like, let's say, towards California. Basically, he says, nature will be showing many signs and even wonders for people to contemplate. Throughout these coming events on the earth, we, and he always says we, creator, meaning the Father, Mother, as one being, like an androgynous being, Son and Holy Spirit, the triune creator, wish for all our children to not be in fear, but to know we are with you all during any times of stress, planetary changes, and also energetic changes within solar stars, galactic spaces, solar systems, planes, levels, dimensions, and densities. Next paragraph is a call to Creator. Sorry. Always lift your face upwards and declare with your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul the promises of Yahweh, your infinite Creator, with your audible voice and whispers. Sing or speak out your love and trust in Creator, who is your hope, salvation, life, truth, unlimited healer and provider during any troubles caused by fallen angels, tricksters, and souls. That means souls who are, you know, even manipulated that are walking on planet Earth with us, and the fallen ones who are tricksters. Call out to me, and I will come to you to comfort, heal, cherish, protect, and uplift you always. I will guide you on your path and in the ways Creator has given to me to help our beloved children. When he says our beloved children, he means everyone. He means animals. He means the nature kingdom. He means angels who become, nature kingdoms become the angels too. And aliens in space, you know, all types of beings, including Bigfoot, Dogman, and everybody else. Okay, next line.
That wasn't in there.
That's not in there. I'm just ad-libbing. Sorry, guys. Last line is, I will guide you on your path and in the ways Creator has given to me to help our beloved children. Understand also that I am not just speaking for my children on Earth, but when needed, I speak this way for all my children throughout the galaxies and total omniverse. No matter what planes, levels, dimensions, or densities within them, a soul or focus point, as he calls us, aspect, we call them, is located, I am with them all, always and forever. Trust in me and hear me now, my children. Not every soul or aspect within the physical dense planes can hear me when I'm calling. Many souls are manipulated by lower entities, fallen angels, and negative souls who are trapped within lower planes, levels, and dimensions, where they are also being manipulated by other fallen angels and negative beings. They are being tricked to trick my children into doing, saying, or believing false information. We, Triune Creator, know the fallen angels and lower beings are manipulated and causing distractions all the time to try to discourage, annoy, anger, distract, deceive, and manipulate my children from calling out for help from Creator. The fallen do not want the children, meaning all of us, to know we are here always for all our children, including all angels, souls, and all those children who have forgotten or have been told false information about Creator. To all the confused, discouraged, lonely souls or fallen angels, trickster entities, and souls who feel forgotten or unloved, hear me now. I am who I am, your one infinite Creator, Yahweh. I love you all and cherish every one of you. You have always been loved, and you have never, ever been forgotten or abandoned. I am here for you now and forever. I just wait for you to call to me, and I will rescue you. Call to me, my beloveds, all souls and focus points of body forms, in your minds, souls, hearts, and spirits. Angels, call to me in your angelic bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits. Call anywhere in the omniverse to me, and I will come to you. When you call to me, as the infinite and triune Creator, know, believe and trust in your mind, body, spirit, soul, and heart that I am there already with you. Then the scales will fall from your physical eyes and spiritual eyes, and you will see truth. I have never left you. Now the next paragraph is my angelic children. He's speaking to everyone. He's speaking to the angels who are the ones that are misguided, the ones who have forgotten. He knows if we read these things, they hear us because they're standing around wherever we are. My angelic children, to my children of angelic form and beauty who may have forgotten or have been manipulated to wander off their true path or calling, it's the same for you, my children. Come to me and call me in your mind, heart, spirit, and glorified form for truth to come to you, and all false and confused messages you heard throughout the original creation and after will disappear, and only truth will be in your beingness. Through my name only will you come home to me, my children, all my children. Call on my name in any and all forms you have known in your hearts and heard with your ears. Call now, my children, and truly allow the truth to set you free. Next line, to all my beautiful children. My beautiful children, hear now the names to call out to me. I have many different names, true, throughout the omniverse. Remember, guys, I'm ad-libbing here. In our galaxies here, we have different names, but in other galaxies, in other omniverse or other places in the galaxies and in deep space, they have names too. Many sound similar to the names we've heard, like Adonai. They have different names that sound similar. So I'm just letting you know that's when he says that. He says, I have many different names true throughout the omniverse. However, only the names I mention here are to be used at this time on Earth and in the surrounding planes and levels, dimensions, and densities or frequencies in the spaces within the spaces of this galaxy, solar system, in the surrounding areas of your galaxy now. My children, recall and remember all I say now. You all have known me since creation and after in the creations of the planes and multiple levels on through to the lower densified creation where those of my children who rebelled and had false ideas given to them about me as your infinite creator were sent to stay until they could rethink their decisions. He's speaking there of being cast down into the lower planes as he invented them there. Many have asked for forgiveness and come home and came home to me. I wait for all my children to call out to me for help and to be forgiven of their false ideas. Also, they ask to be forgiven of any things they did, said, or thought to another angel or soul that caused that angel or soul to be confused or forget me in any way. Sorry. Angels and souls have free will to believe or not, to ask for help or not. And I will be with them then, and at the same time, stand aside for the individual to be themselves and say false information or do hurtful or painful things to my children. That's what free will is. Next line. I'm sorry, I had a dry throat. Sorry, guys. Next line, use these names of Creator. Many angels and souls who adore and love Creator pray and speak words of light, love, and encouragement and hope to all of creation. So the angels and souls who have forgotten and have been manipulated can call out for help and come home to the high heaven planes within all the omniverse. My children, call on infinite Creator in all your heart, mind, spirit, and soul. And all angels, do the same in your glorified body forms and say my name, Yahweh, which means breath of life. Breathe in Yah and exhale way. And so he's going, Yahweh, like that. Yes, you can breathe, my children, when you are on different planes, levels, dimensions, and densities or frequencies. You can call out to me in your mind, too. In space beyond and around Earth, you can call Yahweh, Yahoshua Christ, Yahshua Christ, Yeshua Christ, Jesus Christ, Sananda Christ, Adonai, I Am, Father, Mother, Creator, my Lord and Creator, Yahovah, Jehovah, Elohim, an infinite triune creator. You can speak my name audibly or within your mind as you call to me. If you call to me in the names that are old false gods or fallen angel names given in earth's past to my children, I will not come to you. Please use the names I have given you. When your heart is true, I will come to you. Now, note Phyllis and I put in. I say, I would recommend you consider using the personalized names he has mentioned. If you're looking for help directly from the Most High Infinite Creator, if you choose another name to call, then someone else might respond. The Creator does not override your free will.
Okay.
People have called different names and gotten nothing until they called a name that...
But we don't have time to go in it because this is... We have...
You can even say, oh, Creator, if you're even there or real, please come to me.
I don't know if you're going to get through this whole thing because you've got to go faster.
Okay. Next line, guys. Everyone, next line is false teachings. He says, cleanse your mind and let go of ancient teachings that are not of the light, love, and goodness of Creator. If a teaching promotes power over another soul in any way, it is not of Creator, but a false or deceptive teaching. The lower beings of fallen angels like to trick souls into believing that they are gods or angels. That is the way they try to manipulate my children into thinking or believing they are better than others, or to make a soul believe they are Creator. Those are false teachings and are not of truth. Souls are not angels, and angels are not souls. Angels cannot be born in bodies, but they can come to help people and appear in a body to help a soul when needed. Many miracles occur when angels appear in human or animal form to rescue a soul when the soul calls out to Creator for help. When the angel completes the mission he or she was sent or given permission to do for the soul, they will soon disappear after the mission is accomplished. Many times Creator will send an angel or ask a guardian angel to help a soul because the soul had set up before they... Before they were born to work with Creator on a mission. A miraculous rescue may happen before people or family even knew to pray for help. I'm saying that now to read this part because I have to ad-lib this part now. Sometimes an angel comes to a person and says, pray for your so-and-so family or friend, and then they disappear. And the person starts praying, but they don't know why. And then they find out something happened later, but they were rescued. So that's the only reason I wanted to ad lib into that. And he says here, an example may be a baby safely rescued in a bush after a tornado tore a home apart. That baby was divinely protected from all harm by my command. I know that's a lot to hear, my beloved children, and some may go against the treasured belief system many hold close to their hearts, but time is getting closer to changes coming to the earth in this solar system. Try to open your minds and hearts to what I have said and test me. Truly in love, reverence, devotion, and humbleness, call to me and ask me to come to you. Before asking anything first, give thanks and praise Creator for all you have had, have now, and will have in your life and in creation. Repent, which he calls clearing karma. Ask for forgiveness of anything you may have thought, said, or done to another soul as well as animals that may or did hurt them in any way. Now my next note is always pray for and bless your food animals. They get blessed. Ask Creator Yahweh to forgive you and ask for healing grace to be sent to you to help you in your body, mind, soul, and spirit. Praise Creator daily and pray for all people, animals, and all life forms on earth and throughout the omniverse. Now he says here, next, sacred prayers for protection. For protection against any dark negative influences or fallen angels, pray and ask for my mystical holy blood to pour down over you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Ask me to cleanse, detox, purify, heal, and protect you always in Yahushua Christ's holy name, or you could say Jesus Christ's holy name. Ask me to fill and cleanse your body, soul, and energy field, which is the aura, of all forms of negative influences, old past lifetime contracts with fallen beings, or ancient curses put on you or on your family in past lifetimes by other souls. All can be cleansed and dissipated through my covenant of blood on the earth, and by knowing and trusting in me and in Creator who sent me to earth 2,000 plus years ago. My name in any way spoken casts demons and negative influencers and tricksters and manipulators away from you and your aura and home, etc., like your car. When you call on me, pray or say, quote, in the name of Yahushua Christ, or you could say Jesus Christ, Yahushua, come to me now and cleanse and protect me now with your mystical holy blood. Amen. Speak like that, and I will come to you and protect you even when you speak out in your lucid or deep dream states. your subconscious remembers, and you can embed my name for you to call upon when you feel you're in danger or in a situation where you feel you need to be rescued. That is in lucid, real-life situations, or even in deep sleep, out-of-body experiences, where you feel you are being harassed and chased by
negative
or scary entities. Call on me as Sananda. You can say Sananda Christ, Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Christ, Yeshua Christ, anytime, and trust, believe, and ask Creator for what you need in my name, and I will hear you. Remember, miracles can happen anytime. Many souls choose before coming to the earth for experiences to help them remember Creator, or to help them get on a path to learn through challenges and tests they set up before coming to be born on the earth. Ask for Creator to help you in any way, but also pray or say, my dear Infinite Creator, I am asking for, and you make your request, to happen in my life now. I know it is always your will and not mine, that what I am asking for to come to me in your Son's holy name, Yehoshua, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, and I trust in you always and I love you forever. I know you know what is right for me at your proper timing. Thank you for hearing my prayer or petition. I love you forever, Yahweh, and I trust in you and Yehoshua. Amen. He says, pray like that and be
patient. On that note, we have four
minutes.
We're
almost done. Sorry.
Okay.
Too bad.
I didn't see it. Yep.
Almost made
it. We always monitor the time.
Okay.
Okay. That's okay. If anybody wants a copy, a PDF of that, just email us and we will send you a copy.
Okay, so where you can get the other four pages of this, one, two, three, yeah, four pages, is to email Mark, M-A-R-C, Brinkerhoff, at yahoo.com and just ask, and we'll send it out to you.
B-R-I-N-K-E-R-H-O-F-F. And you can get it on intergalacticmission.com, etuniversalzone.com.
We've been having some trouble lately, Hercules, with some people have been trying to listen to some of the older shows, and they can't hear them.
No, they go to a beginning and they stop.
I don't know if there's been some glitches that have gone on, but just FYI.
I'll look into it. It happens occasionally, and there were some glitches for quite a while with the system, so they might not have fixed everything yet.
Okay, that's okay.
All right. Well, anyway, so that was what we wanted to talk about tonight. We know it was a little bit intense, but this book is going to be kind of quite a document of new information that people haven't heard before.
Yes. Wow.
Anyway, you know, this is Mark's perspective from where he's coming from, and I hope people can understand that this is something special.
And he's telling me these things, so I don't know, I guess he just wants to clarify stuff and clear it up because there's too many false things going out there about
There's nobody getting the kind of information that Mark has, and there's nobody that is able to stand for him the way that Mark has, that I have seen. On this other information that is not in any books that you can find that I can see. I mean, there might be some books out there, but not the way that Sananda is directly telling Mark. So
yeah, this is amazing stuff that he's
doing. We find it fascinating.
I didn't expect anything to happen, but then he said, do it. I said, okay, you got to do it.
So anyway, that's that.
And that's the end of that.
Well, thank you, Mark and Phyllis, and... very, very interesting and informative show. Lots to think about. And I look forward
Thank
to your
you.
next presentation. And to all our wonderful listeners, whether you called in, whether you're listening via computer link, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, a healthy and a happy new year. Thanks again, Mark and Phyllis.
Thank you.
Love
Thank you. Everyone.
Hercules.